morning, counsel.
May it please the court. My name is Tamir Damari, and I represent the petitioner, Environmental LLC. The issue in this case is a relatively narrow one, and the issue is whether the commission erred in affirming the Wireless Bureau's decision to process what is called the withdrawal request, request to withdraw an assignment made by Mr. Kurian, while simultaneously dismissing a notice of consummation filed by my client, Environmental LLC. In essence, what you had here are two competing filings.
Simultaneously is a questionable word here, isn't it?
Well, they were not literally filed at the same time.
They were not simultaneous.
But they were
withdrawal
both
was filed first. Withdrawal Sorry. Was filed first.
Correct.
And the notice of consummation or whatever it is was filed second, right?
Correct. That
okay.
is correct.
So they were not filed simultaneous.
They were not. They were co-pending.
Let's back up and forget about that simultaneous.
Yeah, that my apologies.
You don't even know that they were co-pending, to use your term.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Well, yeah. I guess I'd like you to acknowledge that proposition, because the only record we have that I've seen anyway on the notice of consummation filing is the one at page 100 of the joint appendix, which puts it October 18, mm-hmm. right?
I believe that's the case, correct.
Which is also the date of the processing
Correct.
Of the withdrawal.
Correct.
And as to the exact hour, we don't seem to know.
I don't think the record reflects right. exactly what at what point
it's
on.
It's by no means necessarily the case that they were ever co-pending. It's conceivable, as far as I can
tell. It is. The record is unclear as to when on that date it was processed. That seems apparent to me as well.
When was the notice of withdrawal filed?
I believe it was on the 12th.
The 12th.
Correct.
When was it granted?
I'm sorry?
When was it granted?
It was granted on the 18th.
On the 18th. And the notice of consummation was filed?
That same day.
Same day. What time? It was 5 o'clock, wasn't it? You couldn't file it electronically. You had to file it by hand, and it was filed at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Close of business.
I think that's the case, yes.
And the FCC says that the granting of the notice of withdrawal occurred before the filing of the notice of consummation. If that's right, that's the end of the case, right?
I don't think the record reflects that it was, in fact.
Suppose it does. Then you have nothing, right?
I wouldn't say that, because I think the commission, as it itself acknowledges in its briefing papers, has the authority to unwind transactions or dismiss or vacate previously.
Commission's rules say that when the assignor files a notice of withdrawal, the commission shall grant it.
Well, I'm going to take a look at that, because I think. It says if the applicant requests dismissal of the application with prejudice, the commission will dismiss that application with prejudice. And I think what we argue in our reply brief, this is at page 23, believe through 25 of our reply brief, is that in this case the applicant for the proposed assignment was both the assignor and the assignee. And the reason why we argue that is because the form pursuant to which this assignment is filed and ultimately consummated is a document that is submitted jointly by the assignor and the assignee.
Yeah, but with respect to different licenses, right? So one of them is an assignor as to one set of licenses, and the other is the assignor as to the other set of licenses.
Sure, but even this transaction happened to be a swap.
I understand, but what difference does that make in terms of the application of the rule?
Because even in a situation where there's only one assignment, there's not a swap, the assignee needs to fill out certain portions of that Form 603.
So
in that respect, it is at least arguable that both the assignor and the assignee are applicants. The assignor, there is no authority that I'm aware of that limits the definition of applicant to the assignor. And there is a number of cases which we cite.
Does it make any sense to read the rule to make it the case that the basic principle is completely cast aside just because you have one document with assignment from A and assignment from B? That seems to make the rule incoherent.
Well, it's clear that what's clear based upon commission authority is that an assignee is considered a party to such an application. We cite to that case law.
And that is the rule we're talking about says if the applicant requests, right?
Correct.
So that's the key language.
And, I mean, if that provision of the regulations is construed to mean that the applicant is limited to the assignor, then, you know, the regulation says what it says, and there is mandatory language. There's no question. I can't argue with that. I think what our contention is that it is at least unclear what applicant means in that context. Just want to make some basic points. In their opening brief, the appellee relies in significant part upon the Listeners Guild case and other cases in which there is a bona fide dispute between two parties to a transaction. As to whether that transaction was consummated. What we argue in our brief, and what I'd like to reiterate here, is that in this case, because Mr. Kurian never really contested the consummation or the lack of consummation of the relevant transaction, that there really wasn't...
What was his occasion to contest it?
What's that?
What would have been his occasion to contest it?
Presumably, as I understand it, he would have had the standing to file...
What would have been his reason to file anything?
To contest the statements that were made in...
Why would he do that? I mean, when I was practicing law, we used to say if the judge is arguing your side of the case, you don't interrupt his train of thought. I mean, he had won. He was talking about winning or losing. He had filed his withdrawal of the assignment. Why would he have occasion to do anything else?
Well, I think it would be analogous to any other situation where somebody prevails. If I prevail before a lower court and then I file an appeal and the appellee doesn't respond.
Well, he could have, but...
He certainly didn't have to.
You're appealing from something that wasn't a contested proceeding in the first place.
Correct.
Isn't he playing into your hands if he makes it into a contest?
I'm not sure. He could at least make a representation that the consummation did not occur. You know, as the record stands right now, it's completely silent as to why that withdrawal request was filed.
Well, the FCC told you where you could go to find out about that, didn't it?
Well,
if you got a contract breach, you could go to court.
Yes, correct.
The FCC doesn't sit to try contract cases.
That is correct,
right.
And that's why I
so want that would have been the place for him to answer, would have been if you sued him.
Well, I mean...
If you really believe in your side, why didn't you sue him?
Well, we do believe in our side,
okay,
and I think
why
the reason...
Sue him?
It looks like my time is up. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, counsel. We'll give you back a couple of minutes if needed for rebuttal. We'll hear from the respondent.
Good morning. May it please the court, Maureen Flood for the Federal Communications Commission. This is a case about a license assignment. Mr. Kurian held a spectrum license. He initially decided to assign a portion of that license to Environmental. So as the licensee of record, he filed an application with the commission to do so, and the commission consented. But Mr. Kurian subsequently changed his mind, and on October 12, 2007, he filed a request to withdraw the commission. Having received no notification of consummation from Environmental, the commission processed that request as a routine matter on October 18, 2007. As Judge Randolph pointed out, the commission subsequently received a notification of consummation from Environmental late in the day on August 18, 2007.
I take it we infer that the processing occurred before 5 o'clock because we don't expect the FCC to be working after 5 o'clock.
Yes, Your Honor. And let me put a finer point on that. If you look at Joint Appendix page 103, you will see that Environmental manually filed the notification of consummation. And on 103...
That's an email.
At
454.
Yes, it's 454, but I want to explain that. It's unclear whether that was 4:54 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think it's more likely that it was 4:54 Pacific Time because it was filed by Mr. Jimmy Stobaugh of Environmental. Environmental's headquarters is in Berkeley, California, and that's where Mr. Stobaugh is located. So it's more likely that it was actually filed closer to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on October 18th, 2007. And as an FCC employee, I can tell you that we generally don't process requests to withdraw applications that late in the evening. So that should give, hopefully, the court some further assurance that in fact, the withdrawal request was processed by staff prior to receipt of the notification of consummation. So the commission...
The actual papers were filed by overnight courier, right?
That's correct. So they would have been received on the 19th.
They would receive the next day.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. So the commission staff, when it received this notification of consummation late in the day on October 18th, 2007 via email and the papers on October 19th, dismissed it. Because once the commission staff received Environmental's notification of consummation, Kurian's request to assign the application had already been withdrawn and simply stated there was nothing to consummate. This was the basis of the commission's decision to affirm the staff in paragraph 5 of the order. You know, on review, the commission affirmed both staff actions, the processing of the request to withdraw the application and the subsequent dismissal of the notification of consummation, because the staff properly declined to interject itself into what is fundamentally a contract dispute between Environmental and Kurian. You know, and that's consistent with decades-old commission precedent. Environmental before this court hasn't demonstrated that it's eligible for an exception to that general rule. And unless the court has any other questions, I would ask the court to affirm the commission.
On your procedural basis for rejecting the claim of ex parte, violating the ex parte rule, you really rely on Commission Regulation 1.1115K, do you not?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Is this in the brief or in the Bureau order?
It's not in the brief. It's not a
the waiver argument.
Yeah, but it seems to be the pertinent section on the point.
Well, Your Honor,
115K says the filing of an application for review, this is an action taken by designated authority, shall be a condition preceded to judicial review of any action taken pursuant to delegated authority. And that, rather than 405, A is really the pertinent language, is it not?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And, Your Honor, that buttresses why Chief Judge Sentell's ruling in Bartholdi Cable is still a correct interpretation of the law.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, thank you, counsel. Do you desire a rebuttal?
Thank you.
Give him 1 minute.
This may already be clear from Appellee's counsel's recitation, but one thing I wanted to clarify is that what seems clear to me from the record is that at a minimum, the Wireless Bureau, in particular Mr. Scott Stone, was aware of a dispute, for lack of a better word, between the parties as to whether the transaction had been consummated before the withdrawal request was processed by virtue of Mr. Havens's email of 8:48 on the morning of October 17th and his statement in that email that he intended to file a notice of consummation later that same day.
Okay. What's not clear is why that would make much difference.
It shows that they were aware
filing
of
filing of the expression of an intent to file a notice is not the same thing as filing a notice.
I can't argue with that.
Okay. Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted. Call the next case.